I got the idea for this program when I saw an article on an unusual event that took place in the Philippines a short while ago. The article reported an initiative organized by an advocacy group in which nearly 4,000 mothers set a new world record for the largest number of women simultaneously breastfeeding their babies in the same place. It sounded like fun and a lot of bonding, but in fact I went on to read the event was held to raise awareness about the benefits of breastfeeding in a country in which the breastfeeding rate has declined alarmingly, with only 1.4% of babies of 6 to 7 months old still being exclusively breastfed. Now, in my family, breastfeeding has always been seen as the most natural thing in the world, and I also happen to know that the percentage of mothers who can't physiologically breastfeed is very tiny. So what's going wrong? I decided to ask an expert. Now, when one thinks about breastfeeding, it's the most natural thing in the world, isn't it? It comes as a surprise to have to learn and to discover that breastfeeding is in need of support and encouragement.
This is absolutely true. I think it's recognized both in informal culture and certainly in all parts of the world that breastfeeding faces tremendous challenges.
David Parker is Deputy Director and Head of Research at the Innocenti Center.
I should say as well that just last November, there was an occasion to review progress and identify some of these challenges, and a celebration called Innocenti Plus 15 was held exactly to try to understand why progress remains still so limited in many cases. What I can say by way of background may be that when we speak of breastfeeding, what the experts and what one learns from culture, what it all comes to is that exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months and then partial breastfeeding with complementary feeding to 2 years is overall the type of standard that is optimal for infants.
So when I said that in my family breastfeeding was considered the most natural thing in the world, I apparently touched on one of the roots of the issue. Diana Senton, a leader for the Lecce League in Italy, certainly thinks so.
Unfortunately, at least in our Western culture, it's not so common to see women breastfeeding as it is in perhaps other cultures. We haven't grown up watching our mothers breastfeed our siblings or our aunts breastfeeding, and our grandmothers would have talked about their experiences as well. And all this information gets passed on generation to generation, and we grow up seeing it and accepting it as what's normal. And we learn that way, and unfortunately, we haven't had that experience, most of us. And so there is a need for more information and more support.
But first things first, what is the Innocenti Center where David works, and what is La Leche League?
In our work, we address a range of areas related to social and economic policies in children, nutrition, international standards for children in support of UNICEF and its work worldwide.
And La Leche League is an organization which provides information and support to women who want to breastfeed their babies.
David, surfing your website, I came across something I didn't know existed, and that's the Innocenti Declaration. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
The Innocenti in Florence had the privilege to be the site of a historic meeting in 1990, attempted to set out for the first time a concerted international support of breastfeeding globally, building on work that had been done before, but it brought together WHO, UNICEF, a wide range of governments, non-governmental agencies supported, and it culminated in a Innocenti Declaration on the protection, promotion, and support of breastfeeding, which was really a milestone in the global movement in developing as well as developed countries.
Yes, because as Diana explains, giving your baby breast milk is giving him the best start in life.
human milk is perfectly designed for human babies, and it provides antibodies, protection against infections. It passes on the mother's immunities to various diseases that she may have had, passes that immunity on to the baby. It's more easily digestible than cow's milk or formula milk. It reduces risks of allergies. It's been shown that children who are breastfed are less likely to be overweight or obese as they get older. There's a long list of actual documented physical benefits.
Yes, and also for the mother, I think.
For the mother as well, there have been studies to show that it reduces the risk of breast cancer. After the birth, it can reduce the risk of hemorrhaging. When the baby is nursing, that stimulates the uterus to contract.
And as David points out, breastfeeding, in fact, does more than just give a child the best start in life.
When you speak of the challenge that's faced now, what we also know is that from a medical point of view, it's found that breastfeeding could save an additional at least 1.2 million infant lives every year from improved breastfeeding alone, and possibly up to 2 million lives a year if it also includes this process of better complementary feeding in that period to 2 or 3 years. So it is absolutely more than any other preventive intervention essential to saving infants and children's lives.
However, even although personally committed to the challenges we face, David highlighted the fact that around the world, breastfeeding is still generally the norm for feeding infants.
But I think if we look at our modern global culture, if we look around the world, there are so many different issues. A lot has to do with mothers' time and the need to schedule in order to breastfeed regularly. There are many other barriers, some at the family level, some within the health system, and many related to the workplace. What we see is, in fact, it's not a single problem, but it's a combination of culture, of policies, of workplace, and the whole role of mothers in modern times. But it's something that so many groups and individuals have seen as critical, that it was precisely on this basis that so much action is being mobilized to try to support breastfeeding.
That's true, you know. The more I research the subject, the more I realize that there are literally hundreds of support groups and organizations that promote breastfeeding. But in Britain, for example, despite campaigns like the annual Breastfeeding Awareness Week, breastfeeding rates there are among the lowest, not only in Europe, but throughout the world.
Now, in a place like the Philippines, which is a poor country, do you think that the interests of infant formula producers have anything to do with the lack of breastfeeding?
Certainly the industry is a very big part of the whole culture and practice of breastfeeding and of lack of breastfeeding. We know that the sale of baby milk is about a $10 or $11 billion business annually. And we also know that formula and alternatives to breast milk are important in some cases where mothers have limited milk, where there are health concerns, where there are other practical reasons where they cannot breastfeed. But infant formula is a profitable product, and with any product, companies do try to find ways to promote its use. And this is, in fact, leading a long dialogue related to the International Code on Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. But certainly around the world, and you'll have seen in your own travels as well, alternatives to breast milk, infant formula, are seen not only in practical terms, but very much a product and part of a commercial culture. And it's very, very important that mothers have the right kind of information, background, and awareness of how formula should be used, but the primary importance of breastfeeding.
It's true. Look around you, and everywhere you see images of babies being bottle-fed. On television, in books, in films, where there's a baby, there's usually a bottle. In shopping centres, you even find that the symbol for a breastfeeding room is a bottle. However, Deanna, a woman who is always there for breastfeeding moms who need information and support, immediately straightened out my enthusiastic views when I asked her what success rate she has.
I don't consider it really success or failure exactly. I guess success is when the mother is happy with her decision and breastfeeds successfully, if that's what that is her wish. Certainly the women who call me are wanting to be successful at breastfeeding, and usually it's something that any mother can achieve if given the right information.
Now, what David does, and his whole focus, of course, is very different to that of Deanna. But deep down, they both believe in the same thing.
The Innocenti Center, with its focus on research and linking to global advocacy, really tries to promote, in many ways, the idea, the concept, and the core principle that breastfeeding is a fundamental human right of mothers. And try to understand how legally, institutionally, and in policies and practice, how this right can be expressed so that mothers do enjoy the ability to breastfeed.
A fundamental human right of mothers. I had never thought of it in these terms, but I think that's a very beautiful way of putting it.
What we know is that breastfeeding is as much a cultural issue related to women's perceptions of their bodies, the public perception of what's appropriate for women. At some level, many women we know are reluctant to breastfeed for issues of their own self-perception. But we also know that, especially for poor women, and this is not only in the Philippines, but Italy and anywhere, that there are many practical constraints on mothers' ability to breastfeed. And these have to do with their workplace situation, the pressures of their home. One knows simply how much time, I mean, as a parent, and scheduling is involved in order to breastfeed, and particularly to breastfeed exclusively for 6 months. And it's in this regard that public information, but especially work of the health system, of community groups, of non-governmental groups, to be able to help women, to empower women, to have the opportunity in public spaces such as railway stations and other parts of cities. One wants to see ways to make it convenient for mothers to breastfeed. At another level, I think quite interesting to recognize the achievements of the International Code on Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, which, while it's now nearly 25 years since it's been established in the World Health Assembly, there's now a tremendous amount of progress in governing the role of hospitals in particular, and the development of what are called baby-friendly hospitals that promote breastfeeding, that limit the distribution and promotion of baby formula, and that provide information to mothers about how to breastfeed after they leave hospitals. The key role of working with the nurses, with health workers, with administrators, and in that way also linking with the industry in order that the culture can change. I think this is the fundamental point we would make, that what is key is the breastfeeding culture, in addition to individual practice, needs to change in the Philippines, as you've mentioned, and certainly in Europe and throughout the developing world.
And that really brings me back to where I started. Initiatives to promote breastfeeding are not about the woman's ability at all, but really they're all about culture. Because a survey shows most mothers who give up breastfeeding do so reluctantly. And although I can't vouch for it, I'm sure that goes for the babies as well.